we tend to solve in a way that's more modern than a typical legacy cloud suite like Salesforce at a lower cost.
Hey there, it's Dave Pastuca, co-host of the Hell to Sell podcast. And this episode is going to be a little bit different to what you're used to. This is going to be a bit of a flashback to when Luigi interviewed CMO of Insightly. Why are we doing a flashback, I hear you saying? Well, this message about how the marketing and sales merging together to become one is even more important now than it was back then. And when I was thinking about what we should talk about this week, I had a bit of a flashback and I remembered this episode. It really struck a chord with me when I was CMO of then company Locomo. So I wanted to get this back into your ears so you can see why, if you're a seller, founder, any of the above, why you need to think about how marketing and sales need to become one.
Now, this week, we have the Chief Marketing Officer of Insightly CRM. And this is a really interesting episode, right? Even though a lot of you are in sales, a lot of you are out there pounding the pavement, creating your own pipeline and making it rain, I'm really excited to share Chip's point of view on this episode because as a salespeople today, our role in going out and creating awareness and doing a lot more marketing activities, it's becoming more and more of a requirement in our roles, right? And so that line is getting very gray of where marketing and sales kind of intersect. And so I asked Chip to talk with us about really thinking, what do marketers think about and how can we create more awareness? And as sales professionals, how do we then take some of those concepts and execute it ourselves? Because at the end of the day, you know, especially in a tighter market, our need or our requirement to go out there and generate new opportunities, it is more important than ever before, especially in tougher markets, right? We have to be more proactive in the way we reach out to our prospects and we reach out to our target market. So this particular episode will provide you with a different point of view when it comes to going out there, creating awareness, creating engagement. And Chip's going to share some incredible insight that'll help you generate more awareness and ultimately create more opportunities that'll help you close more deals.
Just a quick interruption to let you know about a free resource that Luigi and I want to hand over to you. This resource has helped lift close won rates to over 73% on average. Plus, you'll get a B2B sales newsletter that drops weekly where you can learn what it takes to build a repeatable sales process and creating a pipeline full of qualified deals. To get this resource, just go to growforum.io/newsletter or click the link in this episode and sign up today.
Welcome to the show, Chip.
Thanks for having me, Luigi. Great to see you.
Yeah, I'm really, really pumped, man. I've been enjoying watching your content online. I've been enjoying building a relationship with you online. It's great to finally, even though we're still online, it's kind of take it from the LinkedIn world into a virtual world. And hopefully, when I'm in America, we might be able to find the time to actually connect offline. But mate, really excited to have you on the show. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, super excited to be here. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah. Well, mate, before we get started, because we've got a really cool topic, and I think for me, sellers, you know, sales has changed over the last couple of years, and I think COVID has sped up and really accelerated some of the changes as well in our industry. But before we get into the topic about how sellers can become, you know, better at marketing themselves, we'd love to learn a bit about how you started in the world of sales and marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've really been in marketing my whole career. My undergrad, I was an economics major, right? But I think I really resonated with things that were more people oriented, you know, the social sciences, statistics, even, you know. So I guess I was sort of always sort of a right brain, left brain marketer, right from the get go. Personally, I'm a musician too. I've been playing drums since I was 10 years old. I've always been musician in bands, and so that's my artistic side, and my econ, I guess, is sort of my left brain side. But so I started out in a highly analytical marketing statistician role at a catalog marketing company called Fingerhut. You know, one point was, you know, but as large as Sears, you know, in the United States, a really large, couple billion dollar company. But it was highly an analytical approach to marketing. It was B2C primarily. But I got into the online world in e-commerce with a company called Digital River in 97, and then into email marketing with a company called Exact Target. And that was the bulk of my career. And we were acquired by Salesforce about 12 years later after scaling the company kind of pretty significantly. So I've really been in software as a service marketing for 25 years, Luigi.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
And now in your current role, you know, you're CMO, you're leading a team, you're really trying to, and you're working in quite a competitive market, right?
Yeah, there's no question. You know, CRM is a competitive market, and hundreds maybe of companies that claim to have some either niche CRM or, you know, addressing broad audiences. But we're definitely a top player in this space, you know, and so obviously most sales deals we're competing with maybe HubSpot, maybe Salesforce is who we probably see most often. But with a lot of small and mid-sized companies leverage our CRM to, you know, drive leads, manage the pipeline, things like that.
Mm. And that's really interesting, right? Because, you know, again, you look at the names, when you look at CRMs, you've got, you're right, your Salesforce, who I think I just read they've ticked over $30 billion in ARR, which is insane number. You've got your HubSpots, then you've got Microsoft's, and then you've got, you know, some of these other players as well. From a marketing perspective, like how do you, you know, when you're really taking on these juggernauts of organizations, how do you go about sort of setting that marketing plan to really differentiate what you guys do versus your competition?
I think it starts with really knowing who your customers are. And Anthony Smith, who was our founder, you know, he's founded the company actually in Perth, Australia in 2009, brought it to the States, moved it, you know, with some investment in 2012, and really started out with a phenomenal integration with QuickBooks Online and Google, right? So he's two of the top products in both of those app marketplaces adopted by, you know, SMBs really across the world. So pretty quickly it was adopted because of those two key integrations by thousands, tens of thousands of businesses really in 150 plus countries.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, yeah, I guess you learn over time, right? We've been really lucky to have so many different types of companies on the CRM platform for years and years. In 2019, we launched our marketing automation product. And then just last year, we launched a customer service product, help desk product, we call Insightly Service. And so we're solving problems for multiple industries, right? And we tend to solve in a way that's more modern than a typical legacy cloud suite like Salesforce at a lower cost. So that's that's why I was excited about Insightly is it's, you know, a marketing, a sales, a service, you know, app all in the same modern platform with one view of the customer. And it's just a lot lighter, easier to use way to manage your customer experiences. And so that it's easy to find the white space for me anyway.
Yes.
Where that fits below what the typical Salesforce or other cloud suite offering is. There's definitely companies who are looking for, you know, a flexible, easy to use, easy to adopt tool for their sales team, for their marketing team, for the service team.
So what I'm hearing you say is you're very clear on your customer profile. You're actually really clear on the type of customers that you want to serve.
For sure. Yeah.
And I think there's a perfect segue, right? Because when you're thinking about it from a sales perspective, and again, if you're a listener on this show going, you know what, and look, the reality is really simple right now. Inbound lead volumes we've seen have dropped. A lot of sales teams are struggling to meet their number. Pipeline coverage is lower than what it should be. So there are actually a lot of things that are happening that are going against sellers right now, yeah? So, and I think one of the key things that's going to really help salespeople moving forward, especially in the next 6 to 12 months, is their ability to get out into the market, be proactive, and generate more pipeline for themselves. And I would love to hear from your perspective, like if you know, from a sales perspective, and what advice could you give sellers that would help them become better marketers so that they can get out there and create more brand awareness for themselves?
Yeah, it's a great question, Luigi. I think I would start with how a solid marketer goes to market today, right? Mm. because it's changed significantly since, you know, HubSpot sort of championed inbound marketing years and years ago. Mm. And, you know, I came from the email space too, back, you know, like I mentioned, I was at ExactTarget, that we were acquired by Salesforce. But, you know, back then, I think it was a pretty common motion to go out with your PDF, advertise it via email, advertise it via social media, and somebody would come fill out a form and download it. And then you would just, you know, nurture them via email. And that worked really, really well for years and years and years. Fewer and fewer people are filling out forms. The buying process has become longer and more complicated. Often it's involving five or more people inside of an organization, yeah. right? And so, and there's more and more websites, definitely in the software space, there's websites like G2 or Capterra where I can go do research on software and hear what customers say about it before I ever buy it. So, you know, it's just second nature the way people buy things now is much more like they buy a TV, they talk to 25 friends, they do some of their own research. Some of they might go to Best Buy and see a TV, they do some research on Amazon or some other review sites before they select a TV. They've already been through most of the buying process, right? Yeah. And so if you're a marketer in today's age, you really need to be, number one, really aware of that journey and all those steps. Mm-hmm. And number two, be aware of the fact that you have to create awareness and before you're ever going to get a sale. So you can't expect to just interrupt somebody and get a sale at the bottom of the funnel immediately today. That relationship starts 25, 30 steps, maybe, yeah. you know, months earlier, potentially. Right. So one of the greatest models, everybody's familiar with a marketing funnel.
Yeah.
There's a guy by the name of John Janch, who's a marketer, wrote, Ultimate Marketing Guide, and I'm blanking on his other book, but he's got a marketing.
The buying pyramid.
I can't believe I just can't come up with Hourglass Marketing Hourglass.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Yeah. But the concept is like basically seven steps, and the top three are know, like, trust. Right.
Yeah.
If somebody has to know you, they have to like you, they have to trust you before you're ever going to get to further down in the funnel to be able to actually have them try your product or buy your product. And so if you are a marketer today, you're thinking about that journey and now how do I create awareness so my ideal customer knows who I am? How do I get them to like me and make them believe that I understand their problem and that I know how to fix it? And then give them some proof points to prove that I know how to fix it, right? Maybe probably with some customer stories, some very specific examples, some review sites that back up what I'm saying. And that's the trust piece. So know, like, trust, you know, before you're ever going to get somebody to try or buy. And so that's me coming a long way around to answer your question, Luigi. If you're a sales rep, you now own more of that top part of the funnel than you have before, because you're going to engage with an organization where they might have awareness of you, but you're going to try to deepen relationships with multiple potential stakeholders. You're going to have to validate whatever marketing is in the market. You know, you're going to have to also show how you've solved problems for people similar to them, whoever you're talking to. And then provide some proof points and metrics that show you can actually do that. Again, so know, like, trust. So how do you do that? When you're a seller, you have to think in terms of a multi-step journey, right? That begins with you and the words that you use.
Yeah, I love that. And it's interesting because you're right. Like that know, like, trust, you're coming at it from a marketing perspective, but we can't progress opportunities through our pipeline as a seller if they don't know, like, or trust us either, right? So it's fundamental.
Exactly.
To any, both marketing and sales, which I find really, and again, I think for, because, and this is where I was really excited about this episode and really excited to talk about the line of sales and marketing, because again, you know, when I first started in this industry, you know, many, many years ago, there was a clear sort of crossover. You know, marketing did their thing, sales did our thing. But I feel that that line has now kind of disappeared, right? We'd love to get your insight on this. So from a marketing and sales perspective, what has been the biggest change that you've seen that has impacted the two orgs and the way in which they engage with each other?
Well, I think it's mostly a positive, because I think most marketing leaders and most sales leaders now realize that they're essentially on the same team.
Yeah.
And selling is really a team sport that involves both of those skills. I talked about right brain and left brain, you know, kind of marketing approaches, analytical, you know, and also more creative and artistic. And I think there's a little bit of the yin and yang that applies to sales and marketing as well. We need each other, right?
Yes.
And I think historically, how the inbound marketing myth kind of trained us all, and maybe it worked for a few years, was the marketers were just responsible for generating leads, right? Yeah. We just had to generate leads, and we needed to get email addresses and contact information and give them to the sales team. And our job was done.
You know? Yeah.
So, you know, we've already proven it. That's how we're counting our success. We've given you 2,000 leads. If you guys don't follow up on them, it's your problem, basically.
Yeah.
And so but that model worked for people, you know, actually for a period of time, maybe that worked. And I think sales, honestly, historically was used to that, right? And maybe they didn't know a different way. So that didn't seem odd to them either. But I think that started to break down, right, as buying habits changed, as social really emerged, you know, kind of that social proof emerged as a critical component of being able to buy something, especially a higher price product. And so what's changed for me is that partnership, you know, is sales and marketing working together, marketing thinking further down funnel rather than just taking responsibility for how many people like us on Facebook, you know, or how many leads we're getting, but vanity metrics, but truly thinking about the full funnel. Who am I talking to? Where am I talking to them? Are the people that I'm talking to in that location actually converting to sales opportunities and to closed won business, right? And so I think an evolved marketer, if you will, is thinking with that full funnel approach, and they're partnered with sales leaders to think that way too, right? And so and hold them accountable, frankly. So if you're still just running a webinar, doing a download, and then shipping that lead over to your sales team as a marketer, you're not doing what you need to do, because you haven't proven any level of true engagement from the buyer.
That's really interesting, right? And I actually want to pick up, because there's a couple of things you said there, and I want to pick up on the creativity piece in a moment, because I think that's really important as a modern seller today. But I mean, you see this all the time because you're working in the role of marketing. You know, if you're a seller and you wanted to get more from the marketing team, you wanted to get more insight to be able to share with their prospects and customers, like, what advice would you give sellers so that they can go to marketing and ask the right questions? Look, I suppose where I'm going to with this question, and I don't want to confuse you or confuse myself, but I often see salespeople don't leverage their marketing teams enough, right? They're out there, they're doing things, but they're not leveraging, they're not engaging with their marketing team to become more educated, to get more information. Like, what advice can you give sellers so that they can go and engage with their marketing department so that they can provide that better experience and journey for their buyers?
So, I mean, first of all, I for sales leaders, certainly, or rev ops folks that are working in the business, get a weekly meeting or a twice weekly meeting on the calendar with marketing, right? Where you're sharing feedback from the frontline teams that are talking to customers and providing that feedback to marketing. I think that enough of the feedback loop doesn't really happen unless you're really, really proactive about creating the opportunity and adding it as an agenda item. Like, let's talk about the, you know, the campaign that we did last month that you called on for the last 3 weeks. What are you learning, right? How is our message resonating? Why is it not? How do we, you know, adjust? So certainly if you're a frontline salesperson, raise your hand and say what's working and what's not working, because marketing needs that feedback loop to help you optimize down funnel. So I think the second thing is update the CRM. I mean, because that data is what then tells marketing what's working and what's not, and just to ensure that at least the attribution is right for things that, coming down funnel. I don't know. Those are two things that come top of mind, Luigi.
Because I actually found a major shift in my career when I actually was thrown into a marketing role when I really didn't know anything about marketing. And for me at that time, I felt like I was a fish out of water, but it was probably one of the biggest, was a key milestone in my career, Chip, because it gave me a different view and on the customer. I always looked at it from a sales view, right? And so again, I became a better sales professional because I looked at it from a marketing lens, and it completely changed my viewpoint on it. And then this is, again, why I wanted to sort of share a little bit about what you do and really get sellers just thinking a little bit differently. And something that you said earlier, which I think is really important, is that creativity piece. Like, we often talk about marketing is, the people that are out there doing creative things to trigger their buyer. And then I often see the sales conversation and there's no emotion to it. There's no energy to it. There's no personality. Like even after I was doing a call calibration session yesterday and I'm like, so you had a great meeting, a discovery call, and then look at your email. Like your email is written, it's so professional. There's no emotion in it. Like where's the actual enthusiasm? Like what about creativity? Like again, talk to me about why creativity matters, not just in the marketing part of the funnel, but also as buyers progress, why we need to keep being creative.
Creativity is human, number one, right? I think that you're in a very, most companies now are in a very competitive marketplace and people get a lot of advertising. People still get a lot of spam in their inbox. They get, pick the channel. There's plenty of noise in almost every channel. And the only thing that stands out are the things that seem truly personalized to you, relevant to you, somehow engaging to you. And the only way you're going to know as a seller whether or not you're hitting the mark is it working or not? So you have to test a lot of things. You have to be creative. And so that's definitely what I got used to, especially in the B2C catalog realm, because in B2B marketers for a while, it has been easy because you just bring in the leads and then the sales team will close it, right? Whereas if you're a B2C marketer, you're responsible for selling it, right? You have to come up with a creative idea. If it's e-commerce, you have to come up with a creative banner ad that gets them to click and gets them to buy. Right now, there is no lead and there's no funnel, right? And so the only way you're going to know if you're doing well is your A/B testing constantly. And even in my job now, we just updated and improved some of our landing pages for the ads that we're running, and we 2x'd our number of demo requests that we're getting by creative approaches to optimizing where the people are engaging and learning about the offering, learning about the brand. And I think that kind of testing is maybe second nature to marketers, and maybe it's a new concept, I think, a little bit to some salespeople is, sort of the A/B testing approach, the constantly thinking about, okay, how do I shift the message? How do I get really personal, really engaging for this individual audience or person?
Yeah. Well, this is good. I think, and again, I'm like, if I look at the notes that our listeners should be taking. There's actually a couple of key takeaways here that you're talking about, right? Because I think, again, the thing from a marketing AMV testing, like sellers need to be doing that as well. You know, if they're outreach messages, if they're looking at, they've got to be looking at what subject lines are working, you know, what emails are performing better than others. Because again, that's something that's quite an important part of our role. Now, this is where I want to flip it, right? Because as a CMO, you'd obviously be on the receiving end of a lot of outreach.
Yeah.
Now, out of all the outreach you get, what's the type of outreach that you respond to?
I do get a lot of outreach. You're right. And the types of things that I respond to, I can tell that there was time taken, you know. Yeah. So it's a personalized message. It's often a video that's customized for me, maybe where they use my first name. They might show my website. They might clearly demonstrate that they understand the problem that I'm trying to solve. You know, and also there's like an authentic try at engaging with me, potentially from something I've written about or something that I've posted about on social, without it seeming, you know, like they just went and grabbed something, you know, but actually something that was sort of recent, maybe that I've written that was highly relevant to what they're talking about. So, I actually have, you know, responded to people when it seems like they're taking the time to engage with me as a human. I'll at least tell them, no, I'm not interested, you know, reach back in 6 months or something, rather than just ignoring them, right? But I'm more likely to ignore them if it feels like they're phoning it in, or they don't know that I work for a CRM company, or, you know, they don't know clear, easy to find details that if they did some research, they would learn about me.
Okay. So showing you that they know you via doing some research, leveraging some sort of content that again shows them that they've taken the time to do the research. And how many, you mentioned video, and I've been asking a lot of people this. Out of all the outreach messages that you get, how many, like what percentage has a video in it?
Maybe 10%. Yeah. It's still lower than I would anticipate. Includes a video.
And you know what? That's on the money. That's I ask people this every day, and I ask sellers the same question. And you're right. It's about 10% of people say I'm sending video, and 10% of the buyers are saying, mate, I'm getting video, which is interesting because that's a key way to stand out, right? In your inbox.
It's a key way to show that you're human too, frankly. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's I think it was Wistia, I thought had a great campaign. Maybe you've seen it too, Luigi, where not only was there a sort of a marketing message from the sales rep, there was also sort of a pre-recorded, hey, here's who I am, right? Yeah. So I like to surf and I like to hike and this is where I live. And sort of just like a little personal introduction to the sales rep, which I thought was really unique because it just personalized the other end of the conversation in this two-dimensional world. It's kind of nice.
And so just going back on that, right, because you mentioned about the problem, again, with all the outreach that you're getting, even though you might not be in the market to buy something, if they did talk about a problem that you were experiencing, would you be open to discussing that problem with somebody if they spent the time to actually give you a strong point of view around that problem?
Yeah, I think when somebody approaches you, and Doug Landis and I talked about this on our show Closing Time, but when they approach you with a sort of a hypothesis for understanding your business, not only do they understand your pain, you know, they sort of can demonstrate it, you know, with hey, I think you might be experiencing this kind of thing, right? Because I'm talking to other customers in your same industry that are experiencing that. Is that what you're seeing? Because if so, then, you know, this is the types of activities you might want to consider taking. And it doesn't feel like a higher pressure sales at all in that case, because they're coming your direction to just make a hypothesis and educate a guess about what you might be experiencing. And that draws most people out. Yeah, I am experiencing that. And that's interesting that you brought that up because X, Y, and Z detail, right, that then you can build on.
And so if somebody does leverage that really strong value hypothesis around a problem they might be experiencing, And then that could trigger you to say, yeah, I'm looking to learn a bit more from this.
Yeah, it warms you up. I just had a conversation not too long ago that was similar to this, where it was a unique piece of software that I'm not in the market for right now specifically, but they clearly understood a portion of my business and how I might be able to optimize it and why they built their software entirely around solving that problem.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, I'm not interested now, but you clearly understand that problem, you know, and, you know, let's talk again. So I think that that demonstration of expertise, you can't, you can't fake, right? You can't fake, you know, and you can't fake the informed, educated guess.
And are all your purchases that you make, are they all budgeted purchases? Or do you in some cases have to go and create a budget and develop a business case to get access to money that you didn't put in the budget initially?
Yeah, they tend to be budgeted in quarter for me, right? But didn't necessarily exist when the year started.
Okay, so throughout the year you've gone, hang on, we've got something, we need to maybe go and, you know, make that budget available this quarter.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah. And what's your process around doing that? Like, is it you've got to seek consensus from your wider team, or do you own that? Do you control that entirely within your remit?
Well, I mean, clearly as a CMO, I own a marketing budget, but that covers people, covers tech, covers content, covers agencies, and then covers, you know, actual demand gen. And so I think if my CEO is choosing, it wouldn't go entirely to demand gen, maybe. you know, and so I have to create an informed decision anytime I'm kind of recommending in a budget change, right? You know, that, hey, here's what I'm going to spend, what I want to spend money on next quarter. And here's how I think it's going to impact the business.
Yeah, this is great. Because you mentioned earlier that there's more people involved in the buying committee. So, I love where we've gone with this podcast, Chip, because, you know, we've spoken a bit about what sellers can do to create more awareness for themselves in the market and really being clear on who they serve, going through those processes of know, like, and trust, engaging with their marketing team so that they can share intel that way and vice versa, right? Having a better line of communication between the departments is only going to help strengthen the value proposition they're taking it to market. And I absolutely love the fact that we've migrated to from a buyer's perspective, how you're buying, how you're engaging with outreach, and how the fact that there is still a lot of people not doing, you know, the basics of personalizing and bringing their authentic self. So I think this has been a great episode where, you know, if you're listening to this, there's probably been a lot of key takeaways. But before we let you go, where's the best place for our listeners to find and engage with you?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn is probably the best place to engage with me, right? Personally, is probably on LinkedIn. I do tweet occasionally at CE House. And then, you know, obviously you can find and learn more about it Insightly at insightly.com.
Yeah, awesome. Jim, thanks for the content that you put out there, mate. I really appreciate your time today.
Luigi, thank you. Yeah, I can't wait to do it again. And you have to join me on my show.
Mate, you know the time, I'll be there.
Sounds good. Yeah, sounds great.